Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Michael P. McCarthy is the co-host tonight.
I am, and I might have to talk more than you because I think I sound a little bit better here in the studio than your Florida internet connection.
My Florida internet connection is flubbed up because Xfinity is telling me they're having problems. So I'm strictly on a cell phone. But we'll still be able to do this perfectly fine. We have an open show tonight, Mikey. So if you want to call in and be the guest and ask your question, as I was saying to Sean, we like our listeners to be the guest because we get the most excited answering your questions and not just pontificating on a topic that we came up with. There are times that I think is beneficial. We think that people ought to hear this topic. But usually we just like to answer your questions because when we answer one question for one person, it probably helped another 20, 30, whatever, out there wanting to hear that answer but didn't really want to call in. So if you want to call in and be that brave soul that says, I got a question, if you can answer this, it'll be really helpful to me and maybe some other people would find it helpful. 410-992.
922-6680, 410.
Why did I forget that?
922-6680.
I just went, boop, out of my mind.
Yeah, you're not used to talking into a phone instead of into a fancy microphone.
410-922-6680 is the way you call it. 410-922-6680 if you want to call and ask a question. But we have plenty to talk about tonight, Mikey. This morning I was talking to Sean about the absolute necessity of your advisor being an independent advisor, not a representative of any brokerage firms or not licensed with any insurance companies, but totally, completely independent. Now, you don't understand this as well as I do, Mike, because 40 years ago when I entered this business, I was with Raymond James and Associates, and for a very brief period of time, I was with Ameriprise. And in 1995, we left and became totally fee-only, independent financial advisors. And I'm telling you, I'm a totally different advisor when I went independent and fee-only from when I was a representative of a brokerage firm or insurance company.
Yep.
Totally different.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to our first caller, Rebecca in Pennsylvania. How can we help?
Hi, I'm calling because I didn't want him to, like, lose all the time on his phone. So anyway, I was born in 1958 in December. Now, when do I have to start getting Medicare? Not Medicaid, but Medicare. And I have a pencil, a pen here.
So it would be December of 2023. That's when you would have to sign up. Now, what do you have for medical insurance currently? Are you on the exchange?
I'm on the Pennsylvania exchange, not the Obamacare, but the penny thing, the Pennsylvania.
Oh, that is Obamacare. It's just the Pennsylvania version of it. Right.
So
yes, when you turn 65, you need to start.
I'm not going to be 65 in 2023.
Yeah, you will. You were born in
58. God, unless I'm really good, like the drugs aren't kicking in. I thought I was only 23 right now. I was born in 1958.
You were born in 1958. You're 64. You'll be 64 in December.
You'll be 65 in
December of next year.
Oh, my golly. All right.
I just turned 65, Rebecca, 2 months ago.
And it looks great on him.
Yeah.
Well, I called. Yeah. I never knew how old I was. After I turned 21, everything just melted together. Okay.
Well, there you go. So So you need to start in September or October of next year and sign up for Medicare to start December 1 of 2023. And it's very important that you do that because of the way your medical insurance is structured. You have no option to wait past 65 years of age.
Okay, and if and the problem is if I don't do that, I get some kind of penalty, right?
Yes, there will be a penalty if you don't sign up in December, or actually you have about 3 months after December of 23 to sign up. So you have until, technically, until the end of March, but the exchange really shouldn't keep you on the exchange after December of 2023.
Are they going to notify me?
Probably. No, it's up to you to do this.
And I thought like some of the thing was you have to call Social Security. Is that what you said one time?
Social Security is who you sign up with Medicare. You can do it online. We do it for our clients all the time. We sign up for Social Security or we sign up for Medicare or we sign up for both. So, you know, it's pretty simple. But, yeah, if you want to do it the easy way, just go into any Social Security office in September, October of 23, and say, I'm turning 65 in December. I want to sign up for Medicare Part B.
Can I just tell you one thing about that? Okay, I only live like 20 minutes from Westminster, and it takes me like 40 to an hour to get to Chambersburg, and they said I can only go to Chambersburg, so you can't go to any office.
That's not true. You can go to any office.
Oh, my golly. You're kidding, because that's what they told me.
Not true. You can go to any office. I got to run. I got to go to traffic report. But that's a great call, Rebecca. Great question.
All right. Thanks, Rebecca. Well, we've got two callers on the line that we'll get to right after we go to break. But it's an open show, 410-922-6680.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Can you hear me, Mikey?
We can hear you well.
Oh, there you go. See, my iPods are working.
AirPods.
How do you like that? You're my what? My AirPods. I'm a techie guy, you know? So we're on an open show. Let's go right to our callers.
All right.
We got a few online. Let's give the number out real quick, 410-922-6680.
All right, ahead, Mike. John in Baltimore, how can we help?
Yeah, hi. How you doing? I don't know if I can beat that last caller. She was good. So in January, the first week of January, I moved all my money out of the stock fund in the TSP and moved it to the G fund. And I didn't hit any of that down market stuff. I'm trying to figure out how to or when to reinvest back into the stock funds that I have in my TSP, related to this bear market. How should I time it, and how should I do it percentage-wise when I get back?
Well, that's the age-old question, John. It's the reason why we don't pull out of the market is because it's impossible to say, A, when do I pull out, and B, when do I get back in? Markets are already down 16%, so you're at least, if you bought back in now, you have a 16% discount. You'll be mad at yourself if it goes down 40%, but you'll be happy with yourself if it goes up 50% from here. Nobody knows. You can't time these things. It's been proven throughout history that it is impossible to get out on time, even though you did it. There's no assurance that you did it with anything other than luck.
Yeah, I know that, but I felt that the market was overextended at the end of December. So
I felt it too, but I didn't. I mean, I felt it many times that the markets have been overextended. But in my 40-year career, I found out that I was at best 50-50 right. And at best, I was 50-50 right getting back in. And in time, I learned over 40 years that if I try to time it, I'm going to be wrong just as often as I'm going to be right. And I'm ultimately going to hurt the people that I'm trying to do this for. So I just don't do it. I can't answer your question. It's an impossible question to answer.
John,
I wish there was a good answer.
Just one real quick. So if I were to go back in percentages at a time, like say a 10% of or a 15 or 15 or whatever, is that a smart move and just do it on a time basis?
That's dollar cost averaging. That's normally the procedure we would recommend to something if they don't want to, you know, lose out on more downturn. They're doing it in dollar cost averaging. Worst case scenario is the market just keeps going higher. And you bought back in at some higher prices, but some lower prices.
John, how many years out before you retire?
Well, I'm already retired from the federal government, but I have another job right now.
Well, so how far out till you start pulling on the money?
I have a kid with special needs, so he's out of school in a couple of years, so probably 3 years.
Okay.
Right.
Before I pull.
Yeah, so I have dollar cost average in, but we've got to run with go to Karen, Mikey. Good
All right, John, thank you for the call.
Question. Great question. I wish I could answer his question better, Mike.
Yeah, well, we do really wish we could. Karen in Columbia, how can we help?
Hi, this is concerning my father's estate planning.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He has a couple of investment accounts. One of them's around $200,000. The other one's just under that. And he's a widower, and I'm trying to figure out if it's a good idea to change the people on the beneficiary to his children, or leave it and have it go to the estate. Now, he does have 8 children.
Okay, how much is his total estate worth, Karen? Is it that it, plus a house maybe, total $800,000 or something?
Not even that. It's probably under $400,000.
$400,000. So if he has 8 children, probably wouldn't be a bad idea to put all 8 children on there as beneficiaries, but you would have to make sure that all those beneficiaries are put down each child per stirpes. That's a Latin phrase, Karen, that means by the branches, per stirpes, S-T-I-R-P-E-S. Per stirpes, because here's what happens, Karen. Do you have children?
Yes.
So let's say, God forbid, you passed away before your father. If you don't get that word per stirpes next to your name and all your brothers and sisters' names, then your children will be disinherited, and it'll go 1/7 to the remaining 7. And if 2 of you die before your father, it would go 1/6 to the remaining siblings, unless you put that word per stirpes next to each child. So I wouldn't do it if you can't get that little tag phrase next to each child, per stirpes. If you can, do it. If not, let it go to the estate.
Oh, dear.
You didn't think it was going to be an easy answer, did you?
Well, no, that's actually an easy answer. The only issue is he's very strict about he wants the will to go to the children. There is no mention of the grandkids in here whatsoever. So,
yeah, there is. I bet you anything in that will there is. It's just done in legalese words and not in the grandchildren's words. In other words, it's not naming the grandchildren. it's doing it in legalese terms like per stirpes. And if it does, that refers to the grandchildren.
Or by the heirs.
Or by the heirs, or with representation, with rights of representation. Those are legalese words for grandchildren.
Right. Well, like I said, my point is I don't know if he wants it to go to the some of the grandchildren, provided, of course, the parents are not, if they've deceased before him. But then
that would be unusual. Normally, grandparents, if one of their children dies, they want that share going to that child to go to their children. If they don't have children, then split it amongst the rest of them. So it's a great question, but make sure you get good advice before you do anything, okay?
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
All right. We got plenty of open lines. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Plenty of show left and plenty of open lines, but we'll go right to Bruce. Bruce, how can we help?
Hey, how can you? I turned 66 in June, and I just talked, and I was arguing about my brother, that I didn't have the quarters of Social Security, but I paid a lot of money, and I had good jobs. And, my brother said it's SSI, but to me it's still Social Security because I paid so much in. When I talked to the people, they said the money I put in the 70s and all, of course it went up, and I never touched it in 66. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so. You don't have enough quarters for full Social Security, but you're able to get your SSI benefit.
Right, I just got it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like, back in the 70s, that's Social Security something. I had $65,000 in it. And then you figure they were holding that until now. So that's why I'm getting more than other people that I've talked to that because I waited or what. And, I mean, it's not like, I was never worked at all. I worked at good companies, you know what I mean?
Bruce, I got to put you on hold for just a little bit. We've got to go to break, but I'll put you on hold and we'll bring you back and we'll try to find your question, okay?
I got to
put you on hold just for a bit. All right. We will be right back with more Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth here with Michael P. McCarthy. And Mike, when I put these AirPods in, I look like a robot of some sort.
Oh, I think you look nice. You look very hip and with it.
Yeah, I look like a young person now. There you go.
Yeah, it helps let other people know you don't want to talk to them. You leave those in. All right, well,
We're on an open show, Mikey. Let's go to our next caller. Let's go back to Bruce.
So, Bruce,
are you still there?
We heard your situation. Yes. We're trying to get, what's the question you're looking to get answered?
The question is this. My brother says, because I didn't have enough quarters, but I paid all the money in the Social Security, and I heard when I talked to Social Security that a lot the money I put in, they saved all them years, from when I was in my, in the 1970s, that it was retroactive, and I'm getting more money than people that put on their quarters. Does that sound right?
It could, you know, if you're getting supplemental security income, or if you're getting benefits based on a parent, then you were considered a dependent, disabled child. That's the only way that it could be possible. But without knowing the specifics, there's not much more I can do to answer. And so I wish I could help you.
Well, I mean, they told me that I really can't work anymore because if I make too much, they'll cut something off.
Right, because probably what you were doing is you made a few quarters, became disabled, you're getting SSDI.
Well, I'm not disabled.
Well,
I'm just telling you. This is 66.
I got to run, Bruce. I got to run.
I'm a stamp collector.
Because
I am a Republican, goes Trump.
Mike.
Yep. All right. So we'll move on from that, and we'll go to Joan. Are you there?
I was just curious about I was married for 12 and a half years, and my husband left when he divorced me because he was running around. I raised six children by myself, and I mean, I get Social Security, but I guess he's still alive. I don't know. He lives in another state. If he would die, would I get any part of his Social Security?
You'd get all of it.
I get all of his?
As long as it's higher than yours.
He'd be married,
Doesn't matter. He could be married 15 more times. He could have 20,000 more children. You will still get all of his Social Security.
I will get all of his?
As long as you were married at least 10 years.
Yeah, 12 and a half years. And I never remarried.
Well, you know, if you did remarry, as long as you didn't remarry before the age of 60, you would still get all of his if it was higher than yours.
Well, I'm 83.
Well, you should go back to Social Security and find out if he's still alive.
Yeah. I could call Social Security to find out?
Well, I would go in person. I wouldn't call because it's a pain in the neck to try to get to on the phone.
Okay.
Office and see if you can get and see if you can find out if he's still alive. But, yes, you will get a lot more money if he had a lot more money in Social Security. Did he have a good job?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Well, then you should get a lot more money, my friend. You definitely need to keep track of whether he's alive or not.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joan. Great question.
Take care.
All right. We got plenty of show left. 410-922-6680. We've got only one caller on the line we're going to get to right now, but all other lines are open, so please feel free to call in. How can we help?
Hello. Yeah.
Hi.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Happy to have your call.
Okay. So I am 67. I applied for Medicare B and then got a supplement at 65. I have a job that is I'm working 30 hours. I qualify for their private health insurance. It would be a $200 difference in per month, and it's a much better plan. And I'm wondering what steps do I need to take to make that move. Drop my Medicare B for now and the supplement for now and take this private health insurance.
Well, there's no way that you've got a private health insurance plan that's better than Medicare. I can bet on that.
Medicare B.
Medicare B, and what's your supplemental plan? Is it Plan G, as in girl?
Yeah, it's the best plan there was. So I think it's like a G or a F.
It's G, probably.
Yes.
Because you're only 67. You couldn't have got an F if you wanted to. So you got Plan G. There's no way that the private health care plan you're being offered is better than Medicare. Unconditionally, not true.
Is it? It's not for a hospital, is it?
No, it is for a health care agency. It's Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and includes, well, two things I don't have, which is vision and dental, but that's not why I want to get it.
Yeah, but you can get the vision and dental without getting the medical.
Right, but you're telling me that what I have now is better than anything I'm going to be offered.
That's unconditional. You're going to have a deductible on a private health plan of $2,000 with an out of pocket maximum of maybe $4,000-$6,000, and your Medicare plan maximum risk you have is $200.
So that you're saying that those deductibles are true for a private health care plan that I pay for through my company.
Usually that's true. Now, you could have one that only has a $600 or $700 or $800 deductible with a out of pocket max of $3,000 or $4,000. That would be a potential, but Mike does all of our medical insurance, and he'll tell you that the typical company is a couple thousand dollars for an individual with out of pocket of maybe $6,000.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, from doing a lot of insurance stuff, the only thing that I'll say, in very limited situation, and a new law is about to eliminate this, I've seen some situations where Johns Hopkins employee health insurance and like Mayo Clinic employee health insurance, some of these really big medical institutions may have some benefit that Medicare doesn't. But recently, a change in the law limited the price that Medicare can charge for prescription drugs. So I think even that is no longer going to be true.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So now there is a difference. The one difference, what I would do is ask whoever you're going to work for, ask them if you can keep your Medicare, and they'll give you either a higher salary or reimburse you for your Medicare.
Well,
that's what I would do.
What I'm running into is when I called for a new primary care, when they asked my insurance, I said Medicare, they said, we're not taking any more Medicare patients. So to be honest, it's one of the things I'm trying to avoid. You know,
so that is true that some companies, some doctors say that they don't take any Medicare patients. But keep in mind, what that means is that it doesn't mean that they actually won't work with you. It means maybe that they won't submit your Medicare or they won't wait for Medicare to pay, and you have to pay them directly, and then they'll send your bill and Medicare will reimburse you, and then your supplemental will reimburse you later.
So could I drop my supplemental and pick up this insurance?
You wouldn't have to drop your supplemental. You'd have to drop both your Medicare Part B and your supplemental. And I would talk to Social Security about that before you do anything.
Okay. And work with your HR department.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right.
All right. Bye. We've got one caller on the line that we're going to get to right after this break, but we've got all other lines open, 410-922-6680.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question: yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back, Mikey. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. Sound like I'm at the ocean.
I think she's trying to lull us, like the end of the show's coming, and we're kind of winding down. Oh, no, now actually she's picking it back up.
Oh, There you go. Anyway, do we have a caller online, Mike?
We do. We have a caller online we're going to go to, but all lines are open. We still got another 10 or so minutes of show, so call in if you'd like. Robert in Baltimore. Robert, how can we help?
I got two children, and I got four grandchildren. And one of my grandchildren has special needs. And the parent, my daughter, of that special needs is divorced now. Now, I'm doing some estate planning, just starting on it, and I'm really not sure how I can transfer some wealth to that grandchild and be sure that it doesn't get into the wrong hands. I know there's a lot of different things to consider, and I'd be like the ex-husband is not terribly financially responsible. So I really don't trust him.
Let me answer your question. Hear me?
So I need it's some.
Mike.
Yep.
Let me answer your question, okay? This is an easy one, okay? If you have a special needs child, you should never leave money directly to them. You should leave it in a special needs trust. And that special needs trust will have a trustee that will oversee the money to make sure that your special needs grandchild never loses government benefits. And you should do that for any of your grandchildren if, God forbid, your daughter would pass away before you. And that's the way you protect the money to make sure that the ex-spouse never touches any of it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, clearly there's also an issue, like you said or hinted, if the daughter, let's say I pass away and then she passes away 10 years from now, whatever. So she normally, I would think, would be the one managing the trust. But what happens when she's gone?
Well, you have another person take over. Do you have any lawyer friends, or we hire Schwab Bank Trust Company, or we hire a lawyer that we use. Jeff Higdon acts as the trustee a lot of times, or his law firm will. So there's plenty of options.
Your other kids?
Well, the other kids are kind of mixed. The other kid is kind of scornful of her for marrying this dumb guy. So I don't really trust him that he's, he's a good kid, except on this issue, he blames my daughter, so his sister. And that's not a good attitude to trust, mm-hmm. put this money in trust with,
No, but, do you have any nieces and nephews that are extremely responsible that would help you and your daughter if she ever needed it?
Well, there's one uncle who's a little bit younger than, he's like kind of born in between. So he could do it for a while. But, obviously he's like 10 years older than my daughter. He's not a full generation older. So he'd be assuming be around longer, but not forever. So the basic issue, he could be a go-to for a while. But the issue is what happens to when my daughter, becomes at some point, let's assume the normal things happen. She eventually goes. I'm long gone. So the money, I guess, would have to be.
Your best answer would be to turn it over to a corporate trustee, like a bank of some sort or a trust company of some sort, and they'll take care. Actually, Mike, we're dealing with Penmar, right? Penmar
yep.
would be able to do it for them, And you need to learn about Penmar. We're going to have them on our show in November to talk about all the neat things they do for special needs children.
What is this? It's a company that does this?
Penmar is an organization that works with disabled people and their families, some living in the facilities, some, with just outreach programs. But it's a huge resource to someone with a special needs child.
I should go online and just read up. Yeah. How do you spell it? What's the name?
P-E-N. Is it one N or two? It's either
just one.
Yeah, P-E-N-M-A-R.
Oh, like Pennsylvania, Maryland or something
yep.
like that? Penmar, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly where the name came from. And we're going to be doing a webinar on them in November for special needs planning. And we're going to be doing a radio show with them the night before Thanksgiving. So you might want to be listening to that, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Good work, guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
You take care.
All right. This is an open show, 410-922-6680. And we'll go right to Bill. Bill, how can we help?
Yes. Hi, Drew. I don't need a special needs trust. I just need a trustee. Just a standard trustee. I don't have friends or I don't think I have friends or people that I can trust to be a trustee or for me, for someone who's in their 60s. Who would you say you go to a bank or something and they can find a trustee?
Let me clarify this, okay? No one should go to a bank as the trustee. Mike's probably looking. I should wait and see Mike's face right now. Nobody should go to a bank and ask them to be your trustee unless it's your absolutely only last choice. In my opinion, they're the worst trustees that you could ever want to have. Every time I've dealt with bank trustees, they're rigid in their thinking. Their fees are excessive. And they also like to write themselves in documents that they're almost impossible to get out. So I would discourage you from looking to a bank as a trustee unless you have no other options of any sort.
What the trust, you're saying it's a trust for you? Does it already exist or something that you're going to...
Instead of having a will, I could just have a trustee instead of a will.
Okay.
So you're talking about a revocable trust. You make yourself your own trustee, my friend. But who would be your alternate if you were disabled? That's what you're asking, right?
Or if I would pass away.
Well, if you pass away, yeah, who would be your alternate? Do you have a lawyer that you work with that you trust a lot?
No.
Do you have a financial advisor that you like and you trust a lot?
Not even, no.
We do that a lot. We use Charles Schwab Bank Trust Company, and then the client appoints us as the investment advisor and distribution advisor, and then we oversee taking care of everything, and Schwab just acts as the trust company. So,
how do you locate them? Or how would you
What's that?
How do you find them?
Schwab Bank Trust Company is out of Delaware. You can just do a Google search and find them. They're very easy to find. You don't need us to do it. You can go direct to Schwab.
Schwab Bank and Trust Company.
Schwab Bank Trust Company, yep.
Okay.
They're out of Delaware.
All right. Okay,
expensive. Just make sure that your document says you can fire them if if somebody needs to fire them. That they can fire them, okay?
Right. Right.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
Good point. Good question.
All right. Well, we're wrapping up near the end of the show, but we have one more caller.
You have a caller?
I do. I do have a caller. JT, how can we help?
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I called to thank Drew for helping me several weeks ago, I guess. This is
what happened.
And I wanted to tell you I survived.
Oh, good.
Well, that's great. And we're glad to hear that.
Me too.
That makes us happy.
I couldn't resist calling, and so I tried to make the last call so I wouldn't take up somebody's important time.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. I totally forgot what I was going to say to you.
Schwab Bank Trust Company, trustees, the opportunity, like Jeff Higdon's an attorney we use a lot for somebody that's in the area for trustee.
I totally forgot what I was going to say. But that was cute of JT to call in and tell us and thank us for that.
Yep, very. We love doing it, don't you?
Yeah, we do love doing it. It's great. It's great to talk and help people with their issues. And that's why we like to do open shows. So, I know what it is. I'm doing a webinar on trust this month. So if Bill wants to see a webinar on trust and trust planning, that's the way he can do it. And then in November, we're doing the special needs trust, okay?
Financialconsulate.com. Go to the Knowledge Center at the top right.
All right. Mikey, good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too.
In L.A., saying God bless.
What I'd like to do to you, shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna be much better.